Fastline Auctions, the ultimate destination for online farm equipment auctions. Looking to list equipment? Fastline Auctions knows farmers, and farmers have trusted Fastline for their equipment needs for over 45 years. With unmatched digital reach and direct-to-farmer catalogs, they can find the right buyer for your equipment. Not to mention, they have the industry's lowest commission rates. If you're looking for equipment to buy, you can bid with confidence. No buyer premiums, no reserves, just integrity. Fastline Auctions, your trusted platform for hassle-free, cost-effective farm equipment auctions. Visit Fastline.com for more information. That's Fastline.com. Hi, and welcome to North American Ag Spotlight. I'm Chrissy Wozniak. Today, we're featuring a company who's building solutions for the next generation of agriculture. A recipient of Fast Company's Next Big Things in Tech Award, they are leaders in crop intelligence, advancing digital agriculture globally. Forward-thinking agribusinesses, farming operations, and food and beverage companies use their products and services to become more productive, sustainable, and profitable. From San Francisco, California, I'd like to welcome the CEO of Arable, Jim Ethington. Welcome, and thanks so much for joining me today.
Hi, Chrissy. Thank you so much for having me. Really excited to be here today.
So first of all, tell me a bit about your own background.
Great. So I'm from Illinois. Grew up outside of Chicago in the suburbs, a town called Glenview. And my background initially was more on the technology side early in my career. And then, you know, it was really back in about 2008, I started to get into agriculture. I was at a startup and we were building products for that helped manage risk around the weather. And we were doing it in a bunch of different industries and found a great fit in agriculture and went all in on serving that market. And I've spent the last, you know, 15 years, you know, deeply in the ag market. And I really love it. I love so many different parts about it, the people we get to work with, the problems and how important they are. And, you know, it's been my career for the last decade and a half is really, you know, trying to understand how we can provide value and understand the industry and the challenges. And that's another thing that I find so rewarding about it is, you know, I get up every day and I learn something new. There's so much to know, so much we don't know, so much to understand that it's always a challenge. And I think that's interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And you have some interesting stats with Arable, like producers using Arable's technology to, they can reduce water up to 50%, reduce pesticides by 15%. This is great. So tell me about Arable, what it is and what it does.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, just on water reduction, that really varies quite a bit customer to customer. We have had customers come back and tell us that they reduced their irrigation by 50%. But I don't know if that's what I would tell people to expect. But and those are two of the main use cases we see with our you know, farmer customers, which is around the solution really starts with getting good information about what's happening across my farm, real time in the palm of my hand, and in a way that's super easy and intuitive. And I think that starts with getting, you know, all this information in one system. I've been out talking to farmers around the world for a while, probably talked to over, you know, 1,000 farmers. And by far the number one answer when I ask, well, what is it you'd like to see from technology? What is it that's not happening today that would be really helpful to you? You know, the most common answer is, hey, why can't somebody put all these different systems that I'm trying to use and all these different, you know, streams of information, put it into one thing, put it under one roof, and make it intuitive, make it easy. And so that's the start of what we do at Arable is when it comes to what's happening in the field during the season and how you understand what happened at the end of the season. We're trying to put that all into one system and one solution and help answer some of the key questions that come up. Two of the big ones are around irrigation. So you know, folks are out making decisions every day or every week about how the different changes I'm seeing through the season, the variability of the weather, how the crop is growing and progressing, what's happening in the soil, how much did I, you know, my crew irrigate recently? How does that all tie together into a more informed view? And really, I think about it as kind of supercharging the decision maker with data that maybe wasn't accessible before or was really hard to get. It was just too much work to put all the pieces together. And on the disease and spraying side, it's similar. Can I, you know, track through the season what's happening with rainfall, leaf, how long the leaves have been wet, what growth stage is the crop right now, humidity, wind, temperature, all these things, and understand, you know, what's my real risk of a particular disease. And then when I go out to spray, am I in the right window in terms of, you know, again, temperature, humidity, wind speed, the growth stage of the crop, to make sure when I do go, you know, rainfall recently, rainfall that's coming up in a forecast, to make sure when I make that application that it's actually going to provide the ROI and the efficacy that I need to protect my crop. And so it's kind of a long way of describing what it is that we do. It's really about, you know, trustworthy real-time data all through the season to help inform decisions. And I think really key is just making that super easy. It's what's been hard about some of these things for growers in the past is takes a long time to set up. It breaks down during the season. The data is not very good. I don't trust it. And so that's really our key focus at Arable, is making it trustworthy, making it reliable, making it accurate, and making it easy. And I think that goes a long way. And that's what we hear our customers play back to us, is, hey, this is not like what I've tried to use before in a space like this, where I've had a lot of trouble. This feels like head and shoulders above what I've experienced before.
Yeah, that's excellent. And last fall, Arable won Fast Company's Next Big Things in Tech Award. So congratulations for that. And tell me about winning that award and why did they choose you?
Yeah, great question. You were always feel honored to be chosen for something like this. Fast Company is a great organization. And we were, I'd say, happily surprised that we won. Amazing. You know, I think I would like to think that they're giving those that particular award to companies that they see as innovative in a particular space that's important. I was very happy to see them shine a light on agriculture, which doesn't always happen. There's a ton of great innovation happening across many, many companies. You know, we're just one of many in this space. We're doing really important and hard work. So that was great to see our industry picked up there. What I think is particularly novel and innovative and new about what we're doing is ties in a little bit to this idea of combining a number of things, but some of the things we do no one else really does, which is around plant sensing. And so our devices that we put out in the field, which we call the Arable Mark, goes up about 3-4 feet above the crop, and it has a suite of sensors that look down and can start to read what the plant is telling us. And so things like a thermal sensor that can detect the canopy temperature of the crop, things like a spectral sensor that can see the visible and non-visible waves of light that bounce back off of the crop, and a visual camera that just takes an image and can start to dissect what's happening within that image about how fast the plant is growing, the angle of the leaves, any number of things, basically, that an agronomist could see if they happen to be there in the field. But it's not always easy to get to all the fields all the time, especially if you have a farm where you've got 40 fields spread over 40 miles. And so I think that, you know, that combination of technology, the fact that we are sensing all these things that matter to the, you know, around weather, you know, rainfall, temperature, humidity, wind, solar radiation, but then also being able to pull in what's happening in the soil, soil moisture, soil temperature, salinity, and then combine that with these really unique aspects of almost using the plant as a sensor to tell us what it's doing. It is a pretty groundbreaking set of technologies. You know, each one of those individually, I mean, we didn't invent invent the camera or a spectrometer or anything like that, but the ability to combine them into something that's fit for the farm, that has the durability to sit outside on a farm for 5 years, that can connect anywhere in the world, that can do all these things, with ease of use that kind of feels like an iPhone. I pull it out of the box, I push the button, it sets up in 2 minutes, and is cost effective. You know, this is something that our customers buy and use it on the farm and doesn't break the bank. And so I think Those are some of the things that hopefully, you know, caught the eye of the folks who come up with that award.
Amazing. And you've recently announced the Mark III and Arable Vision. Yeah. So that's what that was. So explain to how these innovations can be applied to real world problems for a producer.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll talk about the second one you mentioned there, which is Arable Vision. And so this is, you know, our use of, you know, visual cameras. It's like the photos you would take on your phone. And it goes, again, sort of up above the crop, and it's sitting there all year. And so you can basically, you know, visit each of your fields over your coffee in the morning on your phone and kind of swipe through 40 fields. Or if you, you know, want to see what's going on, you can check in on that field and easily send it to your, you know, send it to your agronomist, send it to your retailer, send it to your brother and say, hey, I think we should go take a look at this one. And so in the beginning, you know, it's a really simple use case or sort of how that applies, which is just putting eyes on the field in a way that wasn't going to be possible without driving 30 or 40 minutes or sometimes 2-3 hours. And that visibility can help you make sure that crop is at the right dosage. Make sure before you send a sprayer out to that field, that field is at the growth stage you think it is, and that the field conditions are looking pretty good. And that's just, if you get that wrong, it's a waste of time, it's a waste of fuel, and you might have messed up the timing of another field that you actually could have sprayed. So just the simple things that come from visibility. And we think of it as, you know, well, what would a person do if they walked out to that field and could look at the plant? We're trying to put the power that's in their brain, just make that easier to access. And, you know, over time, we'll be able to do more with those images and automate some of that and send you alerts that say, hey, the crop is showing some sign of stress or something like that. And so we think there's more to come. But even from the response we've been hearing from our customers and folks who are interested in the market, this idea of just real-time visibility that's easy and across all my fields helps people to manage them more closely than they would be able to if they didn't have that.
Wow. And what are some of the most promising areas of agriculture research and development that Arable's customers are currently exploring? So what's in the future?
Oh, great question. There's a lot in a lot of different fields. I mean, we see, hear a lot of people who are looking into, you know, ag robotics and you know, predominantly around weeding and those types of things. So there's a whole bunch of really cool and interesting ones. Some of the other ones that we're working on or that we see other people working on, I think there's a lot still to be done around fertilizers and trying to make both better products on the fertilizer side, but also use data and decision tools to greater use on the fertilizer side. And so take, for example, like nitrogen and corn. I think that there's an opportunity there to use products like ours to better understand you know, the progress of the season, where maybe I make it in a you know, spring or pre-plant application, but how much did I really lose between that first application and when I could make a side dress application? And so what size should that cider's application be? That's a really hard decision that has a lot of moving parts. And if you're trying to do that again across 40 fields, I mean, it's almost impossible for a human to figure that out every year. And so I think we can use, you know, computers and data and algorithms to help give us a leg up there and be more quantitative. And then also, again, for some crops, use the plant to help tell us, you know, whether or not it is showing signs of being stressed due to lack of nutrients in the soil, which shows up again sort of visibly and sometimes not visible to a human in the coloration of the leaves. And so I think there's a lot of interesting work still to be done there. I think we'll see, you know, more and more coming from fields like this, where we can add efficiency, we can help farmers make the decisions they're often already making, but just with new tools that make their lives easier. And you're not trying to pull data from 3 or 4 sources. You're not sitting there thinking, Wow. If I only knew the answer to that part of the equation, I could do this more accurately. I think that's what technology will be good at, is putting the right tools and the right information in the hands of the decision maker in a way that feels much easier than it was, last year or 5 years ago.
Yeah, definitely. And what do you say to those who feel very overwhelmed with the data overload? Are there some steps they can take to kind of break it down?
That is a great question. I would probably say I know how you feel. I feel like this shows up in a lot of decisions that we're trying to make. If you have three systems telling you three different things, at some point you just kind of throw your hands up and say, "Well, what's the point?" I think the one of the pieces of advice I would have would be to try and find a system that can do a lot of those things in one, and then also maybe to reduce the complexity of it by saying, "Hey, here's the really important decisions that we think we can improve on that are actually going to drive ROI for us." And that may be the things that Arable does for some farms. It may not be for others who are like, "Hey, look, our big piece would actually be logistics of how we get this to market, or something else, or some other element that drives profitability." And try to maybe each year focus on and attack one of those, because I think I could see it being very hard if you're trying to solve nine. Hey, we're going to start using more data, and we're going to do that in nine different ways. Yeah. I think that's going to be a challenge. And so, could you pick one or two a year, or one or two every 2 years, and really try and move over to a new way of doing it, kind of one at a time?
Yeah, that's good advice. And as you know, agriculture has evolved so rapidly, especially in the last, couple of decades. What are a few of the most significant industry-wide challenges that are facing farmers today, and how can these advancements help?
Yeah, that's a great question. We hear from our customers really around the world about these challenges all the time. And, one of the ones that comes up the most, honestly, has come up for a long time. The basic way that I hear it described as planning around the variability of the weather. And what I hear from growers around the world is that's becoming harder and harder year in and year out as things are not how they, happening the way that they used to a decade ago. The hatch of certain insects, even stuff you notice when the birds migrate, things like that, the frequency with which we have rainfall, you can go to Central Valley here in California and people will talk about, we used to have 1 or 2 days over 100 degrees in the key part of the growing season. Now we've had 12 to 14 the last 3 years in a row, days above 100 degrees. And then you look at what we do in Brazil, it's actually the opposite. Folks who've never had a frost that has created an impact. It's Brazil, it's a tropical environment. Mm-hmm. Never had a frost that's actually led to crop loss. They had three last year. Mm-hmm. And so this is just, makes something that was already topping the list of what's hard about farming even harder. And, I think also we don't know what's coming next. And so folks are worried about, how heat is going to impact the crop during the middle of the season. What happens if we continue to see different patterns of rainfall? And so I think that is the uncertainty there. Mm-hmm. Of what we're facing is a real challenge. And, I think there are things that we can do at Arable that can be helpful, which is, I think it kind of makes sense. If you've been able to develop a successful pattern or way of making decisions on the farm that were kind of based on that, maybe they're not as effective in a world where things are changing quite so much. And so putting data behind that to back up decisions, and I don't think it replaces all of that knowledge, but it's another tool in the toolbox to say, "Hey, we were going to, we were going to irrigate X amount, 8 hours this week, but let's see what the system says about that. Oh, wow. It actually says for these fields, 8 is right, but for these fields down south, maybe we could do with a little less, or maybe we're going to need more. And it just points you to some areas to think about and consider based on exactly what's changing day in and day out. And I think that can be really helpful to have a data-driven tool in the toolbox that's hopefully, looking at it objectively and saying, well, hey, here's what we've seen so far this season, and here's how you might adjust to that.
Yeah, great points. And that's interesting about Brazil. I moved down here to Southwest Florida 2 years ago, and I moved on purpose just south of the frost line so that I never have to deal with frost damage again.
Yeah.
And both winters I've been here, we've gotten frost. And everybody says there's frost once every 10 years. I'm like, seriously, did I bring it? But I guess it's in Brazil too.
it is. And I mean, I don't bring it up as a question, but I just hear about it every time I talk with somebody, is that they have a story that about how crazy, the last 3 years have been. And it's not just one location, it seems to be everybody. And so I think that'll continue to be a challenge, I would imagine. But I also think there are, there's some tools to help, and some of them are, more technology data driven tools like ours. I think, there are others out there in terms of, they're not always easy, but maybe helpful in terms of just thinking about different practices, different options. We see a lot of those that people are being forced into, in terms of other ways to manage against those risks. People thinking about, sprayers or misters that can cool the crop down. I mean, I think we're the same way that people, have fans to protect against frost. So those are the type of conversations we hear out there, is, hey, this is, some of these changes feel like they're already on top of us. And what could we be doing to get ahead and try to prepare for this, with the idea that that's going to actually give us a competitive advantage. If we're ahead of that risk, we may be able to do better than those who are not as prepared.
Right. And if nothing else, we're very adaptable species. So yeah. It seems like we're doing a good job.
And I think that's the more optimistic note on it, is that farmers have been farming for a long time, been very innovative, very adaptable, very successful. And I think this overall challenge of, hey, the weather's different every year, it creates a lot of risk, isn't new. And so I think everybody is figuring out ways to deal with it and plan around it and things like that. And I think what we're trying to do is bring some help, bring another tool, bring another way of looking at things that that maybe can shine a light on and help people make maybe some changes they were already thinking about making, make them faster, make them more confidently, things like that.
Yeah, that's excellent. And so how can our listeners learn more about Arable and stay informed about the company's latest product releases, partnerships, and any other news?
Yeah, so you can find us at arable.com, A-R-A-B-L-E. We're also on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, things like that. And we post big news that we have. And if you're on the website, you can sign up for the newsletter, and that'll keep you posted on what we're doing. And if you're interested in learning more, you can also sign up right there on the website to talk to somebody at Arable. And we'd be happy to chat with anybody and tell you a little bit more about what we're up to, give you a demo, and see if it's a fit for what it is that you're doing.
Perfect. And I have one last question for you.
Why
do you serve the ag industry? I know you touched on this right at the beginning, but what's your greatest passion in all of this?
I think the greatest passion and what drives me to do this is I have three young kids, and I think about, not just 2 years from now, but what are we going to be doing 30 years from now, 70 years from now? And are we going to be able to have a reliable, resilient food system that can, weather whatever comes at us and can feed a growing planet and can do that in a way that I think supports a thriving agricultural industry around the world. And there's over a billion farmers in the world. And how do we help them, continue to thrive? And how do we help do all of that in the face of what are going to be many, many challenges to come, and also do that in a way that, you know, protects our planet and our natural resources and our waterways and things like that for future generations. And I think it's one of the biggest challenges we face, and one that we can solve if we apply the right thinking to it, the right people to it. And I'm confident that we will. But it's exciting for me to work in a field that I think has an opportunity to have such a big impact around the world. And that really will be felt by future generations. And that's what I'm passionate about.
Oh, that's great. And thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you for having me on today, Chris. This is really fun to talk about. I could talk about this all day.
Yeah. And thanks to all who are watching or listening. If you want to learn more, the links are provided in the show notes. I would love it if you subscribed and shared North American Ag Spotlight on YouTube, Rumble, or Telegram channels. And the podcast is available on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And have a great day. Our newest podcast by North American Ag is called What Color Is Your Tractor? The stories behind the ag brands you love and the ag brands you love to hate. Hosted by me, Chrissy Wozniak. We take a deep dive into the companies that have built modern agriculture. Subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. Go to whatcolorisyourtractor.com. Available on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts.